Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much. So many things you've already given us this day. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now to understand the message you want us to receive. We truly do appreciate it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Found blameless come judgment day. That's what we all want to do, is to be found blameless. We know that when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that He washes us clean in His blood and gives us an opportunity to hang around a while longer and do some things here on this planet to bring honor and glory to Him. Opportunities to build rewards, to receive blessings and so forth. But during that time, from the moment that you become born again and to the time of judgment, we've got to look at our lives. Is there something in there that we did we really shouldn't have done? If so, then we need to take it to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for it, because then we can be found blameless. In 1 John, the small epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1, in verse 4 it reads, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." If you truly have the right kind of relationship with the Lord, you can have that full joy. It's not your own joyfulness, it's the joyfulness of the Lord that He can apply to you. That no matter what the situation is, you can still be joyful. And that is awesome that He has blessed us with that opportunity, with that grace, with that gift of joyfulness. And when we study His Word, we listen to the Holy Ghost, we can have that joyfulness, no matter what's going on in the world around us or in our own lives. As it continues, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." There are those out there that are hypocrites. They claim to be Christian, but they're not. They're walking in darkness. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Note, all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So no matter what you did, you can come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and you'll be forgiven. You say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? The one who has committed the unpardonable sin will never turn to the Lord and ask forgiveness for it, because he's totally separate from God. So we don't have to apply that here. This is anyone who would even consider asking for forgiveness. Anyone that has that influence of the Holy Ghost on them to know that they have sinned and need forgiveness. And as it says in verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." So we got to be careful how we live our lives and know that we have an opportunity to bring honor and glory to Him every moment of our existence, and to do that to the best of our ability. But if we do stumble, if we do mess up, we know that we can come to Him and ask forgiveness. We got to know that this need of forgiveness applies to everyone. As it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everyone on the planet has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, everyone needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone needs to know that they have an opportunity to get it washed away, get it gone. And on down there in chapter 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Of course, that's 1 John chapter 2. And as he says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins." That means the payment. He paid the price. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know Him." Excuse me. "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that hath said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So we have the guidelines. We have the example. We need to walk as Jesus Christ walked. And we need to know that when we come to him and we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to wash away all of our transgressions. Just like it says over in Psalm 103 in verse 8. It reads, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And that is awesome that he has that mercy that he will apply to all mankind that come to him. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Indicating here and letting us know we can make God mad. We can anger him at our behavior. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, because if he has, we'd all be in the lake of fire right now. But he paid the ultimate price on that cross, shed his blood, given all mankind an opportunity to get washed away all those sins. Read 10 again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if he had, he had already destroyed this entire planet and everybody on it. Completely gone. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's important, that mercy applying to those that fear him. Twofold fear, the reverent fear and honor, and also the fear of knowing you're going to be held accountable. And this is wondrous verse here in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So when we come to him and when we confess, he takes those things away from us and removes them, gone completely. So we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to let the devil beat us up with them things, because he'll do that. He'll do it to yourself. You'll say, well, I did this, I did that, therefore I'm not worthy to go to heaven because look at all the evil things that I've done in my past. Well, look at the examples we have. We have Paul. Think of what a scoundrel he was. He was hunting down Christians and taking them back to Jerusalem so they could be killed. He got forgiveness and became one of the greatest missionaries of all time. And we got to know also that we can get forgiveness of anything and everything that we've done and get it washed and get it gone. And then keep it clean. If we stumble, like he told us over there in 1 John, bring it back to him. Confess it. He'll clean us up. And know that there's going to be a time when everything that we have done is going to be looked at. And when he looks at a born-again Christian, he sees the moment that he adopted them into his family and washed them in his blood. Everything that happened prior to that is washed away, gone completely. From the moment of that person's birth into the family to the point of judgment is all going to be looked at. What have you done with that time period? If you have failed, then you need to take it to him, get it washed in the blood, and it gets erased, taken off. If you've done something good for the Lord, he looks at that. He said, okay, this is going to apply to a reward that you're going to receive and be able to utilize during the millennial period and roll over into the eternal state. So everything that we've done from the moment we've been born again to the moment of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, which will occur just shortly after the rapture of the church, all that's going to be looked at, everything we did then. And then we'll be rewarded or we will suffer loss. As it tells us in there, we can suffer loss because if we've done something that was amiss, that did something because we were selfish or greedy or disobedient, then that's going to be taken away. That's going to cost us the rewards that we could have had. So it's all going to be looked at. It's all going to be checked out. Everything. And that's a very important part that a lot of people don't want to even think about. They just want to think, okay, I've got it taken care of, I'm saved, don't have to worry about anything else, just if it's all washed, it's all covered in the blood, no problem, I'm going to heaven. Yes, you're going to heaven. But don't you want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Yes, you do. So if you do, you got to keep it right. You got to keep it prayed up. You got to always be conscious of everything that you say, everything that you do, every step that you take to bring honor and glory to the Lord in everything that you do. so that you can receive the maximum amount of blessings, the maximum amount of rewards to roll over into the millennial period, multiply on that much more during the millennial period, rolling that over into the eternal state. There is so much more ahead of Christians, so much more that people don't even think about or look at. But we got to know it's there. We got to be ready for it. We got to be prepared for it. Over in Philippians chapter 2, pick it up here in verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him his name, which is above every name. This is speaking of the Heavenly Father glorifying the Son. And now Jesus Christ has all power and all authority over everything. It means that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will confess that. Everyone will acknowledge that is what he's speaking of here. Even all of those Antichrist individuals that have denied him, turned against him, become reprobate, will at one time have to admit at judgment, yes, you are Lord. That's what he's speaking of here. They're all going to realize and acknowledge that. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Means we need to always pay attention to our relationship with God. Work it out. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we realize that when the Holy Ghost comes into us, he initiates a work. And when we truly yield to him, then we can bring the maximum amount of honor and glory to the Lord and be in his perfect will and receive the maximum amount of blessings and rewards. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. That is sometimes very difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes the Lord will put upon you something that you have to do or go through that might lead you to a little bit of murmuring. Or he might put something in your pathway, or I should say someone in your pathway, which could cause some of this disputings, conflicts, arguments, friction. You need to get rid of all that. Don't have such a thing. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Everything that we encounter, everything that we have to experience, everything we have to go through is for a purpose. Sometimes we cannot understand that purpose or comprehend that purpose, but it's for a purpose. We need to know that the Lord is the one that's guiding us when we totally yield to Him and then follow His guidelines, follow His path that He has put us on, and be obedient to Him, submissive to Him, no matter what the challenge is, knowing that you can overcome whatever obstacle is out there by the power of God. Hang on for the ride, as I always say. Sometimes the ride's pretty rough. And you can wind up being upset, depressed, even angry in a situation, and angry at God because He put you in that same situation, or angry at others that have caused you to be in that situation. But we're not supposed to have such anger or disputings or murmurings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's clearly what we find ourselves in these days, in a crooked and perverse nation. But we that are truly born again Christian can, as he says, shine as lights. Because the darker the world gets, the brighter the light is seen. So we need to know that we have that opportunity to shine out completely different from the rest of the world. Do not submit to the devil, submit to Jesus Christ. Do not conform to this world, be ye transformed. New creatures in Christ. Stand out different. Don't try to be like everybody else or get along with the crowd. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Speaking of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, that sacrifice that He made on that cross for us, given us an opportunity to get our sins washed in His blood. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. His grace, His unmerited favor poured upon us because we truly did not earn it. Now, we've been talking about getting blessings and getting rewards, things that we can build up and grow. Sure, those are for blessings and rewards. Those are actions, those are activities, those are behaviors, those are obediences to the will of the Lord that can gain you benefits now and for eternity, of course. But truly, what is most important is your salvation itself. You being cleansed of your sins. And that is done by grace. It isn't that you begin to do a work for the Lord and you get to the point where you become good enough that then you become saved. The false teaching of many religions out there is that you have to be such a person or so good of a person that you earn your way into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You cannot. You could live 1,000 lifetimes over and be just as righteous as anybody ever known and still not earn salvation. You don't get there by your works. You get there by the grace of God, by the finished work of Jesus Christ. His love is what cleanses us, not our works. His blood that He shed on that cross because He loves us so much, that is what makes the difference. And that is what makes it so powerful. Because our works are nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's nothing compared to what the Lord has done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pick it up here in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See, we that are walking the right pathway, that have got a really good relationship with God, have an opportunity to be able to help others that are out there that aren't doing as well, that are failing, that are falling away. Speaking of those that are Christians, that have become backslidden Christians, and also looking at the world, the things that they are doing, the things that they are becoming a part of that is not going to benefit them. We can help them as well. But now, when we go out and we point out the flaws in someone else, if you, in a proper, loving way, can point out someone else's flaw or lack of obedience or the presence of disobedience, the reaction that you get from others will differ. Those that are ungodly, you point that out, they turn against you that much worse. But those that are godly, when you help them in such a way, they appreciate that. They're thankful for that. Like, thank you, I'll get that right, and then I'll be even more productive for the Lord. So that's the difference. You can read that over in Proverbs about how when you reach out to somebody who's ungodly, they're going to turn against you. They're going to think, well, you're hateful, you're intolerant, you're evil, you're a hate monger. No, if we hated them, we wouldn't bother to tell them that they're in error. We just let them go ahead in their error and let them wind up in the lake of fire. But because we take the time to point it out to them, then they turn against us. But yet we have that opportunity to help others. Those that He describes here as being feeble-minded and weak. They are feeble-minded and weak. Because the only way to become solid and strong and clear-minded is being dwelt with the Holy Ghost. Because He gives us a new mind. Then we have the clarity and understanding of the perfect will of the Lord. Then we can walk on that pathway He wants us to be on. Living a perfect life. Perfect? How can you achieve perfection? Well, understand what perfection means in the Word of God. And perfect means in the Word of God. It means fully equipped with what you need. I'm not talking about being flawless, because none of us are flawless. We are all going to stumble. We are all going to mess up. We are all going to have those moments of murmurings and disputings and arguments and discouragements and lack of faith, lack of trust, that's all going to come upon all of us because we're still weak. We're still bound in this human body. We're still having that tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Recognize that, accept that, move on. When you have those things rise up, ask the Lord for forgiveness. Ask the Lord for more strength. Ask the Lord for more faith. Whatever it is, so that you can go on doing it right. And help those others that are out there that you see that need a little bit of assistance. But do it in a right way, with meekness and fear, it says. Meekness, that means you've got to have that power under control. Power to influence someone else is right there. You can influence them in a way that's going to push them away or draw them in that much closer. And fear, knowing that you're going to be accountable how that turned out. What did you do? Did you make someone's life worse or better? Did you push them away from God or draw them toward God? A very careful balance there between the two. But we have that opportunity to do that. And He tells us to do that. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That patience is sometimes very difficult, especially when you're working with somebody and over, it's like you're talking to the wall, you know, there's nothing's getting through. But patience, look how patient the Lord is with us. Verse 15, seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man. No, this is to any man, not just to the brethren, but to anyone. We got to know, the Lord, vengeance is His. He can do the repay. He can do the payback way better than we can. So let Him handle that. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Here, speaking of to yourselves, talking about the brethren, amongst the church, as well as the rest of the world. And in these next few verses, we look at these quite often because they're so motivating, so inspirational, so beneficial. In verse 16, short one, but so powerful. Rejoice evermore. That says so much. Even in the midst of the hardest challenge, even in the midst of the most severe persecution, you can still rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Not just at the proper prescribed formal time to say your prayers in the specific way, starting in a specific way and finishing it in a specific way. Nah, you don't have to worry about that. When you're truly in connection with God, continuously having that conversation with the Lord, constant communion with the Holy Ghost within you, that's what He's talking about. Keep that going all the time. Yes, it's okay to have the formal prayers when you're in meetings and gatherings and so forth. That's great to do it in a proper way, to say the proper words. That's great. But know you and your personal relationship with God needs to be a constant communication, continuously. Not just, okay, Lord, I'm done with You. I'm prayed my morning prayer. Now I'm going to go do my own thing all day long and then I'll pray to You later. But I'm going to go do my own thing today. No, not like that. All day long. Everything. And when you have Him that close to you, when you have Him that close in your mind and your heart, it'll change everything that you do that day. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. That's a tough one sometimes. You know, you stepped out and you fell downstairs, you broke your ankle. And, thank You, Lord. Well, yes, thank You, Lord. I didn't break my neck. Could have been worse. Thank the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that we always be thankful. Quench not the Spirit. We have that constant communion with the Holy Ghost. If we start ignoring Him, it's going to quench Him. It's going to start to get more and more faded communication, less and less of connection there. You're going to lose that signal. But you need to keep that constant. You need to keep that full signal going all the time. By your behavior, by your submission, by your listening to what He has to say to you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. This word has told us so many things. Be ready for it. Don't be dreading it. Know what's next and be prepared for it. Prove all things. That means to test it. Look at it. Be skeptical over everything. everything that I say, everything that anybody says. Where did that come from? Consider the source. Is that from the Word of God? Is that of God or is that of Satan? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a big one there. There's so many ways that we can just look just like the rest of the world, right there mingling with them, be just as evil as the rest of them, because that's what seems to be the popular thing these days, even Ted to say, even within the churches. Verse 23. When you do these things, verse 23 picks up, reads, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." He will, if we do these things. He will give us that peace. That peace that passeth all understanding, He tells us about. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That to be found blameless is awesome. That is because you've asked for forgiveness. We need to always ask for forgiveness. We need to realize that there is so much more ahead of us as born-again Christians. There is so many wondrous things that we have yet to see unfold right in front of us. We see the signs of the times. We know it's not going to be much longer till the Lord initiates all that stuff we were studying about in Sunday school. And we know that there's no major prophetic event that has to occur before the rapture of the church. And we are looking forward to spending eternity not in what traditionally is known as heaven, but on the new earth, which is going to be the new heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." People say, "I want to go to heaven, spend eternity in heaven." Well, the current heaven is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven. Because you've got to understand what heaven means. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. There's going to be a new dwelling place of God, the new creation. That is really amazing when we think about that. When you start to imagine what that's going to be like, that gets you, like it says, looking for and hastening unto the coming. Anxious, I want to see that new earth. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Without spot and blameless. So confess your sins. Confess your sins every day if you need to. Whatever it takes to be found without spot and blameless. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You, so much for Your Word. All these things You have recorded in there for us. The guidelines that we need right there. The instruction book right there that You have preserved for us to be able to study. Thank You, so much for that. And indwelling the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in us to give us the guidelines, give us the teachings, give us the motivation, whatever it is. Help us to listen up, not to quench Him, but to listen up. And help us all be found blameless. We thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.